Okay, so good evening, everybody, and welcome to our first session of the Table of Transformation. And as I might have explained to you before or not, I will just give you a little bit of a background. Firstly, we're doing 8 weeks in this first session, and it's called Discovering the Real Me in Christ. And we have eight different subjects each week that we do it. And tonight we're actually dealing with forgiveness. So it's and then next week we'll have a different subject. Yes, next week. I think so. Unless it's the first Wednesday, then we'll have prayer meeting. So, but we're going to be dealing with forgiveness. And it is in the normal way, but there's also other aspects that God showed me about myself and how sometimes we as Christians don't always look at it in that way. So with further ado, we're going to go. There's quite, I don't know if you want to take the scriptures down. Do you want to take, just lift your hand. Do you want to take the scriptures down? Or do you want me to send it to you? Because not all the scriptures are in the journal. Just the scriptures that are prevalent to the questions to help you think about things. Scriptures. Okay. So let's just go with the scriptures first. So we're going to be reading Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. So we will be doing Matthew 6. 14 and 15. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. Has everybody been able to keep up, or am I going too fast? Okay. Colossians 3, 2 and 3. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 19 to 21. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39.
You can say that last one again, please, Vanessa.
Okay. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. Okay. Right. So now we all know about forgiveness in the fact that Jesus has he died on the cross and he has forgiven us for our sins. And a lot of us also forgive others because we know that that's what Jesus says, to forgive as Jesus has forgiven you. As children of God, we live to be more like Jesus in heart, action, and words. In other words, imitating him births the character of Jesus within us. It starts off, if you think about your children mimic you, they imitate you, and then it becomes a character in their ways. You know, they might like pick up a cup like you do and drink it, or they might my granddaughter copies everything that Alex does. Do you know what I mean? If he lays back and he puts his hands behind his head, she does that, you know. And not all mimicking becomes lifestyles, but basically we as Christians want to be just like Jesus. That's what our heart should be. Our heart should be, I want to be just like Jesus. Because remember, we're going to be discovering the real me in Christ. So forgiveness, for love and forgiveness are the keys, the key ingredients to the foundation of a Christ-centered life. It's not the only keys. Okay? But those two, if you think about it, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus loved the Father and loved us so much that he died. And when he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But if we go to Matthew, let me just get it quickly. I know there's quite a few Matthews, but we're going to be going to Matthew 18. Let me just get my glasses. Okay. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, if you understand that part, okay, in the Jewish law, it was basically you had to forgive somebody up to three times. So according to Peter, up to seven times was him being really generous, right? But ultimately, if you listen to what Jesus says, he says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. It's unconditional love, no matter who it is. Unconditional love, you have unconditional love and you have forgiveness never ending. Because God never stops forgiving us. God never stops loving us. And we need to be like him. We need to, you often hear in the world, I will forgive, but I won't forget. Whereas God says, when he forgives us, he remembers our sins no more. And if we are imitators of God, if we are his children, then we should be forgiving every single time. You see, the act of forgiveness is the fact that you step out from the chains that the enemy wants to bind you with. Because when you walk in unforgiveness, firstly, you chain yourself to that person's actions. You chain your emotions to that person. But when you forgive, you basically telling the devil no more. You have no more control over my life. You have no more say in my life because I forgive, because the Father has forgiven me. Okay, so Jesus, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had to be sold to repay the debt. How many of us, before we come to Christ, sounds just like this person? We have so much debt in sin against God. We have so much that Jesus died for. To forgive us. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. We come to Christ and we beg for forgiveness, and our sin is cancelled by the blood of Jesus and by the fact that he died on the cross. Then, how many of us? But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. How many of us? God has forgiven us, but we don't forgive others. And yes, we do walk in it. We walk in it, but I'll never forget. I might forgive you, but I'll never forget. That is still holding on to that unforgiveness. It is still a doorway for the enemy to come in and steal, rob, and destroy that which God is giving you. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Now, I believe that torture is not specifically like torture, like having whips and being stretched and all that kind of torture. Torture is when we can't forgive, our souls are tortured. We are at never at peace because that person always comes to mind and it plagues us and it upsets us and it messes with our mind, it messes with our emotions. But the minute we truly forgive, as Christ forgave us, we can hold on to that peace. We can hold on to the fact that Jesus is walking with us through this, and we are the better person for it. Then, if you go to Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive you yours. Now, that is quite an awesome thing, in the fact that it's an awesome, scary thing that if we do not forgive, then God won't forgive us. Now, I know that is totally contrary to, Jesus died and forgave us, but I think it's not about the actual forgiveness. It's about the fact that when we don't forgive others, we are putting ourselves above God. God has forgiven that person. God has forgiven you. If he can forgive them, and he is the Almighty, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, then how much more should I be able to forgive them? Because ultimately, a lot of times it's pride in us that has been hurt, that has been squashed. And I will forgive them, but I won't forget. They're never going to be able to do that to me again. And yet the Lord says 77 times you need to forgive, even if it's the same thing, in the same day. And that's something I had to learn. I really do. God has taken me so on such a long journey. And he's dealt with so many different areas in my life. From the age of 12 right up until a couple last, I think it was last year. It was a different, I've learned different phases of forgiveness. There's about seven that I've been through, and I'm sure there's more that I'll go through. And firstly, forgiveness is in your mind. You have to renew your mind. You have to say, God, I forgive them because you've forgiven them. I might not like what they've done. I might not enjoy their company anymore, but I forgive them. You know, for me, God, I used to work in a ministry, a church office, and stuff happened there that really hurt me, and I lost my job because of it. In that, lies were told about me, stuff was happened. I can't remember the story because I honestly asked God to make me forget, okay? But I know that God kept me in that church for 9 months to make sure that I forgave them. And if they knocked on our door, I could open it and honestly welcome them in. That was just one example of teaching me about forgiveness. And I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not saying it was the easiest 9 months of my life because I still had to go to church. They were pastors. I still had to speak to them. I still had to fellowship with them. I still had to worship with them. And yet God taught me in that 9 months how to walk in forgiveness, true, honest forgiveness. That today, I honestly can tell you, hand on heart, Marshall might be able to remember, but I honestly do not remember the little nitty-gritty things about what happened. If I ask the Holy Spirit, I'm sure he'd tell me, but I don't want to know. I don't want to go back there. And over this last year, God has taught me how to forgive emotionally. That was in my mind. My mind then filtered down to my heart. But this time it was my emotions that I had to filter up to my mind. I had to get forgive that I cried. And you can ask Marshall, I don't cry. I taught myself not to cry because I heard a teaching about the tears of a wife is manipulation. And I stopped myself from crying, which I had to forgive myself for, by the way. I had to forgive myself for that. And that's another area of forgiveness. Do you forgive yourselves for your mistakes? Or do you keep beating yourself up? I've made that mistake again, Lord. Because in not forgiving yourself, you also bind, you might not be binding yourself to somebody else, but you bind yourself up from being able to receive. It's for me, what God showed me is when I don't forgive myself, it's like I put earmuffs on and I put blinkers on, and then I can't hear and I can't see God because I have bound myself up because I haven't forgiven myself for the mistake, for the wrongdoing, the sin, whatever I've done. I've had to learn to forgive myself. And I did mentally, I did learn to forgive myself. But this last year, I learned to forgive myself emotionally. And I don't expect God will do it. Oh, he could, but I don't expect he would do it all in one go. You got to just be, what I learned about forgiveness is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, to show you where and how and what you need to forgive. About yourself and others. Right. Going on, because it says in Colossians 3, 12 to 17, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Now, we know that we can do that for others when God leads us to, but can we do it for ourselves? Can you be kind and compassionate? gentle and patient with yourself, just as you are with others. You know, one of the things that I've said before, and I can't remember where, I'm sure it was probably in Table of Transformation, is that if you can't do it for yourself, how can you do it for somebody else? The one scripture, and I can't remember if I've got it now, but that scripture that I think it's in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew. Yes, Matthew, the Matthew 22, 37 to 39 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang." Okay, that's verse 40. So sorry, going too far. Okay, but it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive yourself as you forgive your neighbor. But if you can't love yourself, in other words, you can't love the person God created you to be, whom he loves, whom he cherishes, whom he created. You are saying, God, you didn't create me very well. You didn't do a good job. Same as forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves and love ourselves enough to be able to be open to what the Holy Spirit is telling us in the changes that He wants us to make to be the people that He created us to be, not the people that the world say we are. I have a good example of that in South Africa. I was Patty Morley's daughter. Then I was Marshall's wife, Alex and Robin's mother. And so the list went down. I was never Vanessa as myself. I was always referred to as, oh, that's Patty Morley's daughter, or oh, that's Marshall's wife. So my identity was in what I did instead of who I was. And we are created, or how in the world we are taught that who we are is what we do, where that's totally opposite to what God is saying. God is saying, I have created you to be this, and out of this you will do. So forgive yourself for associating yourself with things that maybe God doesn't want you to associate with. Yes, I am Patty Morley's daughter. And yes, I do have characteristics of my mother. And that was another thing that I learned about forgiveness, is that it says, honor your mother and father, and it will go well with you. I never honored my mother and father. And God had to teach me. I had to forgive my parents so that I could learn to honor them. Not honor their mistakes, not honor their sins, but honor who God chose. God chose those two people to create me because He needed their DNA for me to be the person He wanted to create. And then I had to forgive myself for not honoring them. By harboring unforgiveness, we take ourselves out of the protection, the protective covering of God, and give Satan access to wreak havoc in our lives. Forgiveness is a protection as well as an action. His forgiveness unleashes you from the devil's trap that he set for you. Why walk in chains when you can walk hand in hand with the Father in freedom. I think that's what the Lord has for today. And I didn't go to all the scriptures, but you're most welcome to go through those scriptures with your journal and just get what you need to get from it. So I just want to pray before we finish off the session, and then we can have a time of discussion and sharing. Father, please help me to forgive quickly and forgive an account of hurts, disappointments, bitterness that leads me into unforgiveness. Help me to be like more like you and forgive quickly, whether that is others or myself. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are dealing with my heart and you are teaching me and training me to renew my mind in the way that you forgive me and therefore how I need to forgive others and myself. And so, Father, as we go forth into this week and we do our worksheets, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us and help each one of us to fulfill your plans and purposes in our walk of forgiveness in our lives. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, for the glory of the Father, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.